Brother-in-law, Rabbi Yoshua, may God bless you. Chazak Baruch. So this shur is Lunu Shmat, Naomi Bat Rivka, Mira Bat Adina, Rachel Bat Ben Mazal, Rabat Mazal, Daniel Ben Miriam, Yitzchak Ben Hana, Aaron Ben Mazal, Nisim Ben Zilpa, Mashiach Ben Zilpa, Merik Ben Sara, Baruch Ben Abigail, and then Bechor Ben Rachel Bachmal.
Rosa Bat Sara.
Rosa Bat Sara.
וגם Rosa Bat Sara.
וגם Rachel Raya Bat Tamara. רוח השם תכנן בגן עדן, הם בכל בנות ישראל שוחות עמהן, בחל החרמים וחסידות, וכן עוזרו למער. אמן. Okay, so בעזרת השם, I'm going to give you a nice shiur about one concept. The concept is, ברוך השם, there's a concept about spontaneous reaction. Today, spontaneous reaction comes much quicker than it used to be. There was no spontaneous reaction back in the time as it is today. For example, to open up when people play stock market, it's all spontaneous reaction. There's a concept that they say the house always wins. Whenever you play stocks, the house always wins. Why does the house always win? Because you're trying to beat a game. You're trying to beat a system. Can you beat the system? You can never beat the system. Why? Because every action of buy and sell is all spontaneous by you or by any individual. So spontaneous reaction. The first time we have a spontaneous reaction is with Adam, Chava, and the Nachash. Adam, Chava, and the Nachash, the first man, his wife, and Nachash, and the snake. There's a huge concept, argument within the Zohar itself. The Zohar says that the whole dynamic of the Adam, of man, his wife, and the Nachash, the storyline is not Bechlal, the storyline is not at all subset and subsequential to reality. Rather, the story itself is based on what? It's all psychological. It's all a Mashal, the Zohar says. Reality is that they're both right. It's both a Mashal, and it's both a reality. The reality is that there was a story of Adam, Chava, and Nachash. The psychological part is that same storyline is in within every single person in his lifetime. He has the same storyline. Where do we see another similar storyline? When Yosef sold his brothers. Sina and Kina, hatred and jealousy. That same storyline exists as well within every person in his life. Well, he'll experience kina and sina, he'll experience hatred and jealousy in his own life. At the same time, you have another storyline, which is in this week's parsha, is called the Egel HaZahav, where a person lets his imagination get the better of him and fail in his own life. Because the whole point of Egel HaZahav is Hashem produces and introduces a line, a concept, an idea to the Jewish people, which is He who is God. And that He who is God, that whole aspect of it is what? That whole aspect of it is what? Is that person and the Jewish nation now has the revelation of who God is. And in an instant moment, they're put into a test. Can they really understand the real imagination of what God really is, the real imagination? Or can a person really fail and get a falsified imagination? Which means what? There's a known fact, if a person doesn't have a good imagination, he cannot be a good Kabbalist, right? Rav Chaim Vital was a man of great imagination. And due to his imagination, that made him able to understand Kabbalah better. That means the imagination that a person has, the dimayon that a person has, that imagination lets him reach higher levels to who God is. But the problem is does that imagination, is it subject to Torah? Is it subject to Kedusha, to holiness, sanctity? Or is it subject to unrealism and unholiness? What is it really? What are you really imagining? So to give you an example, and Rabbi San said this, very big concept when he was here. I think he also has it on a video. That what happened with Adam, Chava, and the Nachash? Adam, Chava, and the Nachash had these following points. Adam was told by God, do not eat from the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. He said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. He didn't say, actually, don't eat from the tree of life. He said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. If you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will know what is good and what is bad. What did Adam tell his wife, Chava? And we all do this, right? We tell the wife, don't touch the tree of knowledge. Yeah. Made a cheshbon. He decided to be more machmir, more stricter. It tells the Chava, no, don't touch. Nachash understood, don't touch. Nachash was jealous that Adam and Chava had the spiritual light and the spiritual power that he did not have. That's why it says that the Nachash was arom mikol chayat asadeh. The Nachash was naked amongst all the other animals in the land, in the Gan Eden. Which means what? That the Nachash was the only one secluded from actually, guess what? Being kadosh. He was naked. He wasn't not there. He wasn't there. He wasn't kadosh and he wasn't tameh. He had nothing. He had nothing. But if he only understood, the Nachash, that his something was to be a servant to Adam and Chava, and that servitude to Adam and Chava will make him kadosh. Instead, what did the Nachash do? He got jealous. So the depiction of jealousy already begins in the Nachash. And that the jealousy is a failure of the brothers of Yosef. And that failure of the brothers of Yosef brings him to the concept of jealousy. And it comes from mainly like the Nachash. Nachash was jealous of Chava and Adam. There's other explanations in Kabbalah where the jealousy came from, but that's more in a private setting. But the reality is, and more in book format where it can be understood better, but that jealousy that the Nachash had said, I'm going to make it that Chava in mind is going to be by me and not by Adam. And what did he do? He pushed Nachash, the Nachash pushed Chava to the tree, as we all know. And he said, no, did you die? You didn't die. So whatever Adam said, nonsense. So what ended up happening? Chava, and a very powerful psychologist said, his name is Jordan Peterson in his book, The 12 Steps to Life. He writes over there, why did Nachash give Chava? Why did Chava need to give to Adam? Because a person who fails does not like to fail himself. A person who is a failure does not like to admit his own failure. Where do we see this? This from Chava. And he says, this story of Chava and Adam is a constant remez, constant life, that this failure of Chava and Adam is to teach us that this continuous mentality continues till today. That Chava, the wife, always wants to see the faults in the husband, and the husband always wants to prove himself to his wife. And it will continually go. That is the failure of Chava and Adam. In our history in Judaism, we had another time to fix this event. Another time. Rav Salant says, what's the other time? He says, the other time is in this week's parsha. That Adam was Moshe Rabbeinu. Chava was Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation. And the Satan was the Satan. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He went up to Shamayim to make a tikkun, to fix whatever Adam, Chava, and the Nachash did. It was to take us back before pre-Gan Eden. When we were in Gan Eden. Pre the eating of the Etz Hadat. We were going to fix everything in society. That we're going to live a life that Adam and Chava were supposed to live. Prior to eating the Etz Hadat. So what ends up happening? But as a fact, a person has to know that he has to commit to the same act and fix the act. For example, there's a Masechet Chagigah, a Gemara, that says, a person who wants to make a tikkun, for example, a person went, a bachur yeshiva, went to the field. He went to the field, and what does it say? It happened in the field, it's a story in the Gemara. He finds a girl there. They do an action that's asur. Bar Minan, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. So the Gemara says he went back to the same place and didn't do the action, he left her alone. What is it to teach you? That the tikkun has to be the same scenario, the same action, at the same moment, and you refuse to do that action. That is the ultimate way of doing tikkun. So Hashem creates the same similar situation, that we're accepting a Torah to bring us back to Gan Eden, back to a society that's much greater than we are now. And what ends up happening, we have to do the opposite of what we failed. So what was the scenario? Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Adam Arishon, gets the Torah. Chava is Am Yisrael, who's accepting the Torah. They're getting married to the Torah. What ends up happening? The Satan creates a dimayon, an imagination. What is this imagination of Moshe Rabbeinu being dead? So at that moment, there was a spontaneous reaction. Do we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu is dead? Or do we have full faith in Moshe Rabbeinu that he's still alive? So what ends up happening? The whole Jewish nation, they fail. They fail. How did they fail? The majority did not do the Avera. About 3,000 people did the Avera. Against 6 million people, the way Yonatan Ben Uziel's calculation comes out to be. 5 members per family. So if about 600,000 Jews left, you come out to 6 million, about even more, if you include the women, the children, and also the Erev Rav. So you had a huge amount. Actually, 3 million, I'm sorry. So you have a huge amount of people coming out. So 3,000 people made everybody sin. Why did the 3,000 people make everybody sin? Because their spontaneous reaction was quieted. Nobody responded. Nobody reacted. The only ones who reacted was when Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, "Who is with me and God, come to me now," was only Shevet Levi. Everybody else was hesitant. Why were they hesitant? What made them so important that they could not accept what they had? So there's two factors what made them not accept what they had. One is when a person already does an Avera, a failure in Avera, it's very hard to admit that failure. Especially when that failure is based on one fact. When that failure is based on one number one fact, that I did not stop them. Why should I be blamed for not stopping them? That's not my fault. That is the ultimate failure we see in the Parshat Eged. So when the Nachash went to Chava, when Hashem went to Chava and the Nachash, right? What did Nachash? Nachash couldn't blame anyone. He was the orchestrator of the Avera. So in the Eged, those 3,000 people, they were the orchestrators of the Avera. So they could not change anything. They orchestrated the whole Avera. And who was Chava? Chava did not orchestrate the Avera. Chava was a victim. What did Chava say? This Nachash made me eat it. And when Hashem went to Adam, he said, "What made you eat?" He said, "This wife that you gave me made me eat it." So what does it tell you? That right away the compulsion of a person is to always blame not himself, but someone in front of him. Why is that the compulsion? Because he is compulsive. Human nature is a compulsive animal. That means what ends up happening? You quickly made a decision on a spontaneous situation. You do not wait to think what is really going on. And what ends up happening? You fail at that moment. And through your own failure, you do not want to spontaneously admit that you were wrong. Because you are just basically admitting that you're not intelligent enough to deduce what you did was wrong. And that's what ends up happening in this week's parasha and in the situation of Adam, Chava, and the Nachash. So ultimately, it's interesting enough, it says over here, one of the first pieces in Perkei Avot is as follows. Moshe kibel Torah misinai umasra l'Yeshua v'Yeshua zkenim zkenim v'vim v'vim asura l'Hashem k'den zagdola. Moshe accepts the Torah from Sinai, passes it to Yeshua, Yeshua to the Zekenim, Yeshua gives it over to the elders to the prophets give it to Anshei Knesset Gdola, the rabbis of 120. So we're talking about 300-400 years of many rabbis being transferred. And the main thing that they open up in the Torah, in the Pirkei Avot, the first thing is what the foundation of the Torah stands on. Shlosha Devarim. Have metunim badin. A person has to be able to wait in judgment. Do not be spontaneous in judgment. You have to take your time in judging situations. Vehemidu talmidim, and you have to establish as many students as you can. Not just that, talmidim harbe, many students. Vasu siag le Torah, and you have to make a siag to Torah. Why? When a person understands that the whole purpose of life is to overcome your spontaneous reaction, to overcome your spontaneous speech, right? That spontaneous reaction comes to one point that you're not metunim badin. You're not a person who's really judging the reality. Because the reality cannot be known by you by just an instant nanosecond of a fact. You have to be able to see the reality in its full spectrum, in its full entirety. And if you don't have the reality in its full entirety, how are you planning to make a decision on that reality? You cannot. You already failed. And no one wants to mention their failure. And not just that, then it says, bring many students. What does that have to do with anything? Bring many students to teach them the concept of spontaneous reaction. And then you have to create a system where they understand how to overcome this spontaneous reaction. Now, I'll give you another chidush. The reality is a person getting angry is not spontaneous reaction. You know he's going to get angry. Because you know you're doing something to agitate that person. So it's not a spontaneous reaction. It's like you're pinching the nerve on the person. That's not a spontaneous reaction. So the question is, are you over Isur or are you over a mitzvah? You're more over Isur on that situation. You're making a person get angry. That's not a spontaneous reaction. That's a direct reaction. That's a direct reaction. Now to give another chidush, there's only one time a person can be spontaneous. Where it says, a chacham, a wise man, has to be able to answer the apikoros, the heretic, the man who's a non-believer in an instant, like the silver tongue that we call it. Silver tongue is a reference, for those who don't know, to the snake's tongue. The silver tongue. He has to be able to mention it and respond in an instant like a silver tongue to the person who is a heretic, who's not. That's the only time you're allowed to be spontaneous. When is that? You have to be spontaneous to rebuke those who are truly deserving of rebuke. To question and criticize those who deserve to be questioned. For example, and we said this already, in the Egel HaZahav, because the peoples did not respond instantly and they were kept quiet, they got punished. And that's what we also learned with Eov. Eov kept quiet. He did not give response. Can you imagine if Eov would have responded? Maybe Yitro wouldn't have to run away from its side. Yov and Yitro, two advisors against one, Paro would probably have to listen to them. But Yov kept quiet. At the same time, in this parasha, if you notice, it talks about Shabbat. Right before the Egel Azav, we talk about Shabbat. And then we talk about the whole story of the Egel. Now the reality is, why is Shabbat so important? What does Shabbat have to do with the Egel? And before that, we talk about building the Shulchan, the Menorah, so on and so forth. The answer is as follows. The Ben Ish Chai says that the whole tikkun of Lel Shabbat, the bread, the wine, the candles, the whole process is a tikkun for the Dimayon, is a tikkun for the, it's an atonement for the fact that we did the Etz Hadaat. We have to nullify on Lel Shabbat. We have to nullify the full action, the full process of our failure in thought on Lel Shabbat. By saying the Kiddush is wine. The bread is Lechem. The candle is what you see, the Te'ena. So what does Chava say? Chava says that the Etz Hadaat was good to what I saw was good and it tasted good. So a woman has to do what? She has to do Hadlakat Nerot to see the candle in order to atone what she saw was good. She has to make the challah in order to what? In order to make it, because the taste of the Etz Hadaat, they say, was three tastes. Wheat, dates, and Geffen. So these three tastes was what was in the Etz Hadaat. And that's why we have in Kiddush, we have Kiddush is wine, you have lechem, which is bread, which is chita, And then you have what you see, the te'ena is ta'ava, is what you see in desire. And that is the whole concept of Leil Kiddush. And when you do Shabbat Kilchata, when you do the Shabbat Leil HaSeder 100% Kilchata, then ultimately what do? You establish your house like a Bet HaMikdash, like a Mishkan. But without those factors, there is no concept of this thing. Now why am I telling you? This is very important. Person has to know how much is he feeding in his brain. Are you feeding Bemet Kedusha or are you feeding Tumah? The Gemara says in Masechet Brachot that Torah itself is the most dangerous thing you can learn. It's the most greatest thing you can learn and the most dangerous thing you can learn. The Gemara says that the Torah can be or a drink of health or it can be a drink of death. The Gemara can be used in a way that's lemita v'lo lechayim. O sama mavet, o sama chayim. Because the Torah can be made in a way that can move people away from the Torah. And how does that happen? Very simple. When a person is in his own heart, not the bal midot, doesn't have the character trait that he needs to have. And character trait is very hard to define, by the way. As the Mesillat Yesharim says, a person's humbleness can be his actual arrogance. That when a person shows that he's humble, he's really showing his arrogance because he wants you to see that he's humble. But in reality, he's not a humble man. He's not anav. He just wants. But a person who shows his confidence, that person, for all you know, can be a very humble man. But in the outset, it shows that he's not humble. But in reality, he is humble. Why? Because he believes you can do what he does and even better, maybe. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Walken said that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest attribute was that he did not believe he was Moshe Rabbeinu to the extent that he did not know who he was. Of course he knew who he was. But to the extent he believed every single Jew can achieve that same level. And if every single Jew can achieve that same level, who am I to be different than the next person? Why? Because as the Gemara says, a person has to remember how he came to this world. There is not one human being in this world that did not come the same way. They all came and they were all conceived the same way. So there is no difference between each other. We're all the same. We're all the same. So at the end, spontaneous reaction is ultimately the main factor of every single thing we have today in society. Every single thing that we do as a Jewish person is spontaneous reaction. Now to go back to the main thing, what made the Jews not accept God at that moment? Happiness. The definition of happiness is what was their failure. They said, why do we need to be in this midbar where all we're eating is the man? There's no food, there's no water. Constant complaining of what? Of what they used to have. Constant complaining of what they don't have. Where does this complaining come from? Because in their mind, that's what made them happy. But happiness is only an instant, spontaneous reaction. That when a person says, I'm happy, it doesn't mean he's really happy. He's saying, I am satisfied. I have fulfilled what my mind wants to have. For example, if you have a dog in the house, and the dog wants to eat, you give the dog his dog food, he's happy, he's wagging his tail. At that moment, he's happy till he becomes sad and he needs to eat again. What does that mean? That a person is fulfilling his immediate reaction. He's not thinking of the reaction because he's a dog. What can a dog know? So the question is, what does a human being do? Does he do more what an animal tells him to do? Or is he doing more what his intellect tells him to do? Because if a person really controls his intellect, he'll understand he should not be spontaneous in any reaction. Rather what? He has to be, again, focusing whether he is listening to the animal of himself or he's listening to the neshama of himself. And that can only happen when a person reaches higher levels of kedusha, of sanctity. And sanctity is not based on person having millions of options. Today you have millions of options in anything you do. That just confuses you even more. Because does the mind have the ability to retain all those options? As the Gemara says and the Medrash says that the greatest nevuah, when they went through the Yam Suf, every single person had prophecy. And what was the prophecy level of Yechezkel Hanavi? They all had Yechezkel, Ezekiel's prophecies level. The level of prophecy. Not like Moshe Rabbeinu, but Ezekiel. Halavai, we should be Ezekiel, our prophecy like Ezekiel, like Yechezkel. So in reality, when it's happening, that prophecy itself, that's what they saw. They saw greatness. And yet they still failed. Why? Because they weren't trained to think that way. When a person is not trained to think properly, he will fail in his thoughts. And training is not just learning Gemara, it's learning Halakha. Because the Gemara and the Halakha are, yes, coinciding. But the Gemara says there's only one thing in front of God. The four Amot of Halakha Bilvat. Masechet Brachot. That only Halakhot Hashem has in front of him. Because the Halakhot train the mind to be more Kadosh. For example, if a person has a television in front of him or a screen in front of him, and there's a thing playing in front of him constantly, and you're forced to see that playing, can you be focused on anything else you're doing? You cannot be focused. Your mind is not free to think of anything else. Today, most people and what they're doing is because their mind isn't free. Your mind isn't free of thinking of anything else. Your mind is preoccupied of everything else. This is why it says in Halakha, the first Halakha says, make sure you have God in front of you every single moment. Because when you have God in front of you every single moment, you're opening your mind every single moment. You're creating an opening for every single moment. Why? Because what greater thing to open your mind than God Himself? And the vision of God and the idea of God. That means your mind is being continuously open. Sanctity makes you open. But if a person always thinks of doing averot, he's not opening his mind. He's always closing the mind. He's not able to continue in what he needs to do. And that's the ultimate lesson of spontaneous reaction. The spontaneous reaction is not due to the fact that we're not capable. It's due to the fact that we're not exercising the mind the way we exercise our bodies. And to exercise your mind, just like your body needs to have a diet, so too your mind needs to have a diet. Sometimes your mind needs to have a diet and understanding. Not necessarily everything that's being said to you is necessarily from the source of Torah. Maybe it's from the source of an individual and his ideas. Sometimes a person has to define in his mind whether what is in front of him is be'emet, what he needs to do. And that can only be done by training your mind. And the training of a person's mind does not come from listening just to lectures as this, but also to actually endeavor and research on his own. Because reading, and this is a known, renowned thing in all societies, the more a person reads, the more intellectual he becomes. The more he's training his mind, he's exercising his mind to retain information. So what you can see today will not be the same thing you see tomorrow. And therefore, you will not make those spontaneous reactions because your mind has been broadened. And that's what happened in the time of Egel. Hashem gave everything in one shot to test them. Just like Adam, Chava, and Nachash were created in one shot, this test has to be in instant moments. Why? That was their tikkun. But the failure today, we don't have to do this tikkun anymore. We all have it in our own life, and we have a lifetime to make this tikkunim. At the end, there's four tikkunim. Every single Jew has to be mitaken when he's born. And we end with this. The four are as follows. Etzadat, eating from the Etzadat. The next one is Yosef, the hatred and the kinah, the jealousy. And again, Nachash's whole purpose was jealousy as well, and hatred as well. Then it was what? The Egel. The Egel was from the Erev Rav, because we brought into our community those who did not belong into our community. But even though that we accepted them, we had to help them, we did not help them because we wanted to divide them from us. And then at the same time, you have the last one is Miraglim from Lashon Hara. That they spoke Lashon Hara about it itself. Bezchar Zot, Bezat Hashem, we should all succeed in every endeavor that we do, and that we should not fail, and we should always have the Siyata Deshmaya, the help from God to think positively and to think properly, and not to make any decisions based on spontaneity and spontaneous reaction. Bachava Tzacha Panasa Ubriyot. כן, רבי חנן בן הכל שאומר, רצה לשבור לזה הכל, תשתה לפי כך עם הזו שני מנהי, חפש למען זה כל יגדיל תורה ויעדיר.